At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Ross Sapp here with a name you know. How could you not know him? Man, one of the greatest AEW IWGP champions of all time. We saw him come back on New Japan Pro Wrestling Television. It's great to see his face again. Kenny Omega, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's great. Great to be somewhat back.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously lots of questions about that. The last time I can't say the last time we saw you on AEW TV, you were getting knees put through your head, but the last time we saw you preparing for any semblance of action in the ring was almost a year ago. And then we find out this horrible news that you are battling diverticulitis, which, I mean, quite frankly, many wrestling fans only know of via other famous wrestlers having. Like, it's not a common thing. Explain me the process of even finding out that this is going on, because I heard that you worked a couple matches and you were really sick.
Yeah. Who knows the amount of matches I had worked in that condition. I had just known that there was something off, and there was something off for quite some time. I'd noticed it in my training. I'd noticed it in the results of my training, or lack thereof. You know, I just felt like I always felt low on energy. I'd felt that no matter what I did, no matter how hard that I would diet, how hard that I would train, nothing was working in the midsection area. And I was feeling, again, like I said, lack of energy. There was sometimes pain in the midsection area. And it felt different than the kind of pain you'd get from, say, you know, working too much abs or eating something that maybe didn't agree with you a little bit. And it got to a point where I was almost immobile. I just couldn't really move. And I would just summon up everything that I would have to show up to the arenas, to do whatever it was that I had to do. And I think near the tail end of things, and you could really see it, there was one in-ring mic segment in particular that I can remember. And I remember just not feeling well. And I thought, like, hey, I need to tell somebody that I'm not feeling good at all. But it didn't feel like a flu. It was different than a flu. It was different than COVID. I tested negatively for COVID. So what was it? I wasn't sure. And because I couldn't figure out an answer or because I couldn't find anyone who maybe even had an answer, I just thought, okay, I guess I just got to get it done. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror and my face was pale white. My lips were blue. Something didn't seem right. So I went to makeup and I said, hey guys, I know it's going to sound odd, but can you do whatever you can to make me look more tanned? Because I just feel like I look like a ghost. I don't look good. And so they, whatever, did what they do. And I looked a little more tan. And I thought at the moment that I looked maybe healthy. But when I look back at the footage, I just see myself. I'm just not there. I'm gone. My face is pale. My lips are blue, bluish purple. I remember being in the ring and just begging something on the inside. Just don't collapse. Don't keel over. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't ruin this entire thing. But then by being in that condition, I kind of ruined the entire thing anyway. So a blessing in disguise, because that was a big wake-up call for me to finally get some kind of help that I really needed. But yeah, it took quite a lot for me to finally take a step back and then say, yeah, there's something that needs to be done. And, I need to do it now because I can't keep living this way and I can't keep working this way either.
I think it was Ethan Page that I had talked to, and he said, yeah, Kenny was not feeling great. He's like, it's miraculous that he got through like what he was doing then even. And then I remember the talking segment that you mentioned. A lot of people were like, Kenny doesn't look like he wants to be there. And they thought it was like story related. And then we find out, oh no, this man, like quite honestly, you could have died, not to put it morbidly, but you could have died from this.
Yeah.
And when that gets put in perspective for you? Like at that point, are you even thinking, what does my wrestling future look like? Or is it more like, what does my life future look like?
It's a bit of both. I've done more than I ever could have dreamed in wrestling. So I was at peace with the thought that if this could spell the end, then would I be happier? Would I be at peace with everything that I've done in the industry? And I had really humble goals for myself. So the answer to that is yes. You know, I'm extremely happy with what I've done, the people I've met, the lives that I've touched, and maybe the lives that have touched me. I'm in a much better place because of the world of wrestling. And, you know, diverticulitis or not, being an in-ring competitor or not, I think wrestling will always be some kind of part of my life, a big part of my life. So, you know, it doesn't spell the end if I'm not an in-ring active performer. There's still things I can do. But in terms of maybe not being able to go out in the way that I wanted to, I don't think many people do get that choice. I don't think there are many people at all that can select how they go out and end up being fine with that and okay with that. I feel like there's always that perfect storybook ending that you search for. And if you don't get it, and you've seen this probably many times before in your time, people will retire and then will unretire over and over, over and over again, because you know they're always searching for that Cinderella story or that storybook ending where you're going to get exactly what you wanted and go out in the way that you hoped to. And I just think that because of everything that I have done and was able to do and was blessed enough to accomplish, that if I asked for more, I would just be selfish at this point.
But you know, to be selfish, I can tell you, I was at Sting's final match and he was the first professional wrestler I ever saw on a screen. And I was like, I got to get more of this. Like, I got to see more of this. And to see like the type of send off he got, which could not have been more perfect, is a part of you sitting at home and even thinking like, yeah, I've done a lot of stuff and it is great and accomplished these things, but it sure would be nice.
Oh, absolutely. You know, with the way that Sting was able to retire, even in the way that Brian was able to retire. Sure, you know, he had to go out in a loss. There was...
And an attempted murder.
Right, a little bit of self-duggery there. And Tom,
a little bit of that.
But yeah, all that being said, sure. He was able to go out with an incredible in-ring performance. And yeah, it was nothing short of inspirational. So... to be able to wrestle at the highest level on our current day roster in AEW, to have that kind of performance and to call that your last one, if it indeed is his last performance, I think it's a great way to go out. So in that sense, I would be, if it were over for me, I'd be a little bit jealous of the way Brian was able to go out. Even though, like I said, it was on a loss and it was not the most favorable of circumstances.
So an important question, how are you feeling now? Like how are you feeling?
Yeah. I say this, I mean, I have been saying this for about a year, but it still rings true. It's a very touch and go. I'll have days, and now luckily there's more good days than bad days, but the good days I feel just like my old self. I feel like I have a lot of energy, maybe not quite as much as I used to. I'm not quite as strong as I used to be or quite as fast as I used to be or as explosive, but I'm noticing these improvements and I'm noticing changes in my body where I'm actually able to make those changes again. Before it was no matter how much I trained, no matter how much headway that I made in my training, there was just, I never saw that visual change and I'm actually seeing it again. So I feel like something on the inside is actually doing what it's supposed to be doing. And it's matching what the person on the outside is doing. So I do feel that it's great that by putting the work in, that I'm seeing results on the outside as well. And I'm feeling it too. I'll still have days when if I train too hard for the week, you know, I might get a day where I wake up with some pain or I'll wake up feeling like, geez, I can't do anything. And I just listen to myself. I listen to my body at that point and I think, I'm not going to go against the grain. I'm not going to risk anything. I'm just going to take it easy. And when I do feel like a kick out of this, then I'll get back to it. Then I'll start working hard again. Then I'll start making those steps again to making the comeback. And so far, you know, you get the odd day in here and there when you can't do what you want to do. But I still feel like I'm making progress, and I still feel like it's not too unrealistic to hope for the January 5th comeback.
Naturally, in my line of work, you are a big topic of question and conversation. When's he coming back? All that. And when I would ask people within AEW or even New Japan, they would say, well, there's being in shape, there's being in wrestling shape, and there's being in Kenny Omega wrestling shape. And a number of people would talk about how seriously you take that because of the style that you have long worked.
Yeah.
How much of an uphill battle has that been, considering how much you put into it and maybe sort of the hurdles and restrictions that you faced along the way?
It's tough because I did used to pride myself over the type of in-ring conditioning that I would have. And there'd be circumstances where I may be in the ring with someone who's at the top of their sport of choice, someone who is perhaps an Olympic athlete, or someone who was an international star of some kind in some sport. And I'd feel the pressure, I'd feel the pride of being somebody who is regarded as one of the better in-ring shaped athletes. And no, nothing would intimidate me. And I would feel like it's their job to keep up with me. And now I sort of feel like a page is turned and I feel the pressure. And the question is now, can I keep up with them? So the shoe is certainly on the other foot. But I do appreciate a good challenge. Am I going to come out of the gate being the Kenny Omega of old? I don't know. Like, it's tough to even know. There's all the preparation in the world that you can do, but nothing will ever completely duplicate how it feels to be in a ring. Even sparring, you know, doing practice matches, it's still not quite how it would work out on the day of a show in a big arena, on live TV or pay-per-view or whatever, with the lights on, the crowd in front of you, and with the pressure of having to perform. So how's it going to look when January 5th rolls around, if that becomes a thing? I don't know. I would like to take baby steps into that role again. And I think that's sort of why I'm happy that it worked out that in the way that it did with New Japan, is that they're willing to facilitate a return for me. And I kind of told them I was a little leery about how I was feeling. You know, I wasn't sure how it would look, and I wasn't sure if I could give them the kind of Kenny Omega Tokyo Dome performance that maybe they're looking for, but they weren't looking for that. They're just happy to house my return. And I guess that's why I couldn't really list an opponent. Number one, I don't know if I can do it. Something may turn up, you know, a couple of weeks out, which would put me out of doing the match. And I wouldn't want it to look like false advertising or anything like that. And not only that, but I mean, there's an entry level opponent, you know, where it would look more like an exhibition. And then there's, you know, another tier of opponent. And then there's a tier above that and a tier above that and a tier above that. And I really kind of wanted to leave it to how I felt. But as of right now, certainly I probably feel good enough to attempt one of those.
So that leads to a natural question that I actually even asked Rocky Romero about last week. A lot of people said, mm-hmm. Your return, why New Japan? Why not AEW? Obviously people expect you back in AEW at some point, but mm-hmm. What went into that decision? And Rocky had said, well, it's very nice for relationships between AEW and New Japan, I'll tell you that much. But where did you land on that? Because obviously New Japan is very near and dear to your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The way I look at it is a lot of people, not only in Japan, but internationally, they never knew who I was until I did big things in New Japan. So I really do owe New Japan a gigantic thank you. And I do feel that there's a debt I have to repay in some way, shape, form, or fashion. And I think that if by performing at the Tokyo Dome, by making my comeback at the Tokyo Dome is a way to help repay that, if it can help something for their business, then I'm more than happy to do that. And, you know, I'm sure naturally the next question is, well, why not AEW first? That is, that is the company that I helped create. That is the company that I'm contracted to. It makes sense. It's tough to answer because, you know, why not AEW? There's nothing wrong with AEW at all. I mean, if you watch any of the episodes of our TV recently, there's just, everything is flowing like clockwork right now. I feel like there's a spot for all of the hardworking men and women that are on those shows. They've all worked incredibly hard to earn their spots and keep their spots. And I feel like if I just kind of showed up and said, hey guys, I'm back, so one of you are going to have to, you know, kind of, you know, I don't want to be that guy. So I feel like when there's an opportunity again, when there's a chance, sure, I'd love to be back if you guys can have me. But right now I feel like AEW has got a good thing going. I don't think they need me. I think they need me. So I will, I'll make my return for New Japan instead for now.
So that wasn't all that happened at New Japan. I got sent a clip, which we had heard about, but hadn't quite seen the full context of. And it was Gabe Kidd. I would say berating you is what I would say. And then maybe conveniently, once the media shows up, he turns that physical. I can tell you that Gabe Kidd was all too excited to talk to me about it. He was very happy to discuss how he felt about it. I'm not sure if you've seen what he said about it. No. Have you? No. Would you like to see a clip of what he said?
Sure.
But Kenny Omega is actually not cleared yet, at least as far as I know. He's faced a
lot of I don't give a shit if he's not cleared. He shouldn't have been talking shit.
He had diverticulitis. Like, he almost died.
I don't give a shit what he had. All I know is he had some stomach injury that has put him out for a year. That's a bitch move. And I don't get high verticulitis. I don't care if he's going to wish that that killed him off. He's going to wish that high verticulitis killed him off if he gets in the ring with me. The beating that I put on him is going to be ridiculous, man. He's a fucking prick and an unprofessional one of that little bitch.
Lots to unpack there. To call you unprofessional after that was interesting. I can confirm it is diverticulitis, not hiverticulitis. You didn't like get attacked by bees or anything that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is after you guys had the physical altercation that over a million people saw on social media, YouTube, and the like.
Yeah. I've said it before, many times. There are certain things in the locker room that shouldn't be shared to the general public. And I think this was one of the locker room spats that didn't need to be shown to the world. And I think that, it could have been handled so much differently, and it's so silly.
He says it's because you got his name wrong, which I did see that clip.
Sure.
Was that you playing around, or did you?
No.
You didn't know his name.
Okay. So here's the thing with that, and I'm not sure if the video played. I had taken so many videos that day at the New Japan office. And they kept asking me about, you know, what are some of the names of the young talents that you have an interest in? And I am always a proponent of helping prop up the younger talent. I'm always a proponent of doing what I can for the next generation to rise up. And you know, having to turn that switch off and on between, you know, Japanese to English, I got flustered and I had said Greg Kidd in the heat of the moment, and seeing that there was a camera on and that it was being recorded, I had immediately said, as soon as I was corrected, don't use that. Like, that's, yeah, I wouldn't say it was unprofessional, but I wouldn't want that to be aired as though I don't understand or know of someone's name in New Japan. Because it's not that I didn't know it. As soon as they said Gabe, I said, yes. The truth is, I know more Gregs in wrestling than I do Gabes. I know many Gregs that are wrestlers, and I think the only Gabe that I know of in wrestling is a like a booker, matchmaker, promoter guy. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a natural response when I'm banging off names, boom, 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 that Greg slips out instead of Gabe. And after I said that, and someone yelled out, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Chris Charlton or whatever. And he had said, oh, no, Gabe. And everyone's chuckling, you know. And I said, oh, and of course, like, it's just me. It's just us in that office. So I'm laughing too. And I said, oh, geez, you know, that's going to look terrible. Like, let's cut that, guys. And I guess it made it in, or someone had told Gabe that, yeah, he fucked up your name. Like, I feel bad about it.
So you can understand why some people, especially those who have watched you for a long time, might think that you're not being genuine. Because I remember being on media calls with you when in the Access days, and you would throw in little things like, yeah, the Japanese talent is lazy, and there'd be a little smile on your face, knowing that you know how to get under somebody's skin. The Will Ospreay stuff. I spoke with you.
I'm trying to promote a joint venture between AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling. It doesn't do us any favors for me to not know who it is that we're working with.
Fair.
Yeah, I'm trying to promote both brands equally, and not only that. In fact, I'm trying to promote AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, CMLL, and Stardom as well.
It's so, CMLL. It's two L's. I don't want you to get jumped over.
CMLL. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want anybody attacking you over that.
Absolutely. So for me to slip up in that way, that's my bad. Should it have been put out in the public like that? No. And I'd ask specifically for it not to be. And sure. All of that, you can chalk it up to me not knowing, you know, maybe I had a brain fart, whatever. That's my bad. And I'm willing to own up to it. But then you have on the day of the show, when it's live, I try to make the wrong right by saying all the right things, not only about the working relationship between AEW and New Japan, but I really tried to make this a rah-rah New Japan day. As soon as I come back, I do the backstage interview. Around the corner, here we have Gabe with Robbie X, another person that I'd never met until that day. Okay? And Robbie, consummate professional, shakes my hand. We do the casual wrestling greeting. No big deal. Gabe, here's my first.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas' boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas. Point your toes west.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
First chance to shake this guy's hand. You know, hopefully smooth things over. Make the wrong right. And he goes into this huge spiel right away about me not knowing his name. I mean, if you really think about it, why would you get so mad about a tiny little slip up? You know, I'll tell you a little story, actually. And this really goes to show perhaps the maturity level of someone like Gabe. When I was a few years into the business, I'd actually went to TNA for a tryout. And I don't know if you remember or if the fans remember, but back then they were doing like a World Cup kind of thing.
Yep.
And I'd really hoped, it was like a dream. Like, could I please be on Team Canada? Is there any possibility that there's a spot for me there? And if not, could I at least make an introduction and work towards that? And that was the first day I'd met Scott D'Amore. Not the first day I'd met him, but the first day I'd actually been able to have a conversation with him. Long story short, he kept calling me Trevor over and over and over and over and over again. My name is Tyson. Mm-hmm. And he kept calling me Trevor and Trevor and Trevor and Trevor. This was a situation where I knew that he knew what my name was. But I wasn't going to let it phase me. I wasn't going to sell it. I just knew that he wanted to put himself, you know, above me in that situation, or maybe see how I was going to react to it. But I wasn't going to sell it. And I think by doing that, you know, it helped rapport with everyone there. You know, Gabe, on the other hand, being however many years he is in the business, he would have responded in a complete different fashion. So, you know, for some, again, honest mix up with me, I call him one time on an interview that, on a section of an interview that shouldn't have aired. I call him Greg.
I think that his, and knowing, I've known Gabe for a few years now. I've interviewed sure. him a number of times, and somehow I've been exempt from his wrath, of which I'm very grateful. But
yeah,
I can tell you what he's probably thinking, and he's probably thinking he won't forget my name now. That's probably how he views this, is that you will never forget his name at this point.
I think he saw it as an opportunity to be a headline. That's what I think it was. I think that there are two types of people. I mean, you could really make it into subcategories if you want to. But you have guys who, when they get heated, they're going to want to fight. And they're going to want to settle things that way. And in the same breath, you have guys like Gabe who will claim they want to fight, but they'll bring a friend along like Robbie X just in case things don't go their way so they can break it up. I should have seen the clues as soon as Gabe started to get in my face and talk about me forgetting his name over and over and over and over and over again, but I didn't. I did sense that he was feeling incredibly hostile towards me. And you know, everyone's got their own personal space bubble. I don't know this guy from a glory hole in the wall. And he's like right up in my grill, talking to me, pointing at me. It's incredibly disrespectful. And he keeps talking about, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man, I'm a man. Who are you trying to convince? Me or yourself? It was a simple misunderstanding. I couldn't make heads or tails of the situation. So finally, after the constant disrespect, he tries to blow me off and walk away like, oh, well, you're a lost cause. You're just stupid. I mean, how much more can I take? Yeah, I flipped his hat off. That's all I did. There was no need for fisticuffs. There's no need to take things or escalate it to another level. So when I flipped his hat, after he'd been in my face, after he was making contact with pointing at my chest, calling me names, saying I'm unprofessional, saying I only care about the money, saying I don't care about the business working relationship between AEW and New Japan. Yeah, I'm going to flip your hat. Am I going to hit you? No.
But then you can also see how somebody like me, who's interviewed you a number of times.
Yep.
As I feverishly typed out a note, Kenny Omega didn't know Gabe Kidd from a glory hole in the wall. You know how that's going to also make him feel now. Like, you, so you can understand how, like, might ring hollow.
A guy like Gabe needs a reality check. This isn't a situation where it's okay. We're not equals anymore. Yeah, I look at you as an equal. You know, we're human beings. That's it. You've done me no harm. You've done me no wrong. And so I'm going to respond in kind. I'm going to treat you as an equal. Gabe comes out swinging for the fences. It comes out feeling like he's been disrespected, feeling like he's been insulted. And in turn, he sort of not only insults me in the process, but he leaves a gigantic poop stain on the image of New Japan. And it doesn't look good for the company. It doesn't look good for this business relationship that we're trying to nurture and foster. And like, yeah. Does it suck that video was released? Absolutely. And I can't help but think that it was done with some purposeful intent, because as soon as it had happened, here I am freaking on the back, hoping that no one saw it. There's no need to be. I didn't think there was any need for people to freak out about it. But someone had mentioned it as soon as it had happened, live on air, as if it were part of some kind of wrestling storyline. And then now it's a thing of, oh, this is a story. Kenny Omega was assaulted backstage by Gabe Kidd. That's his opponent. I can tell you right now, I tossed out a bunch of names as possibilities.
Not to interrupt, but you did mention a tier list.
Right.
And dare I ask, where would Gabe Kidd have ranked on this tier list, and what are these tiers?
So, I mean, if you have someone who's just graduated to being ring ready, you know, that's going to be obviously that's your entry level tier. Then you have your tier one, where it's your young lions who have been on the road and have been traveling a number of tours, but are still in that young lion role. Then you may have your freshly graduated young lion who is now allowed to wear his own choice of wrestling gear and have his own wrestling entrance music, and he can have a little bit more freedoms in the way that he works and associates people that he associates with and how he conducts himself. That's the next tier. Then I believe, you know, there's that tier above that, which is kind of like, you know, your Gabe Kidd level, where you're someone to look out for, perhaps not in title contention. Domestically, people may know who you are as a fixture on the show. Internationally, you're an unknown. And I hate to be a conspiracy theorist. I hate to be one of those guys. But after hearing of the kind of reputation that Gabe has, I mean, I don't know what percentage of it is a character, what percentage of it is the real person, but you know, I've heard he's not all there all the time. And it's the eyes, man. I mean, he may be a great actor, but it's he's got the crazy man eyes. And I think it's things like that that make him believable. And I think that there's absolutely a role for him, and I wish him all the best in New Japan and wherever else that he ends up going. But you know, when I had mentioned Gabe's name specifically, that was amongst a list of like 10 other people, and There's no specific curiosity or interest in Gabe. And I think that he saw an opportunity for himself, which, you know, it's commonplace now. We use social media as a tool to promote ourselves. I think Gabe saw an opportunity and he thought he could make a name for himself by doing something that he was hoping would be reported on.
It certainly was.
Yeah, clearly. And if this was the first time it had happened in my career, I'd be pretty embarrassed. And I just feel like how am I always ending up in these situations? Maybe I'm the problem. I don't know what it is. But the fact of the matter is now it's I got to get to a situation where I need to put that behind me and I need to start looking towards my return to the ring. And, you know, this gay kid thing, I think it just is what it is. You could analyze it till the cows come home and it's not going to do you any good. For me, it's water under the bridge. I don't like to hold grudges. Do I think that he's a suitable opponent for my return? No, absolutely not. You know, I'm coming back from a life-threatening injury. And professional wrestling and fighting are two, they're similar, but they're a little different. And if this were a thing where Gabe really wanted to fight, I feel like that challenge would have been tossed my way already. And maybe we would have found, you know, some nook and cranny in some locker room, or maybe we would have went to the dojo. I don't know. Or maybe not. But it's, you know, for Gabe, you know, he got his 15 seconds of fame. Congratulations. I care less about that. I care more about the working relationship between companies. And, you know, Gabe now makes it sound like I'm unprofessional if I don't search out some match that's going to make a ton of money. Gabe needs to look himself in the mirror, man. There's no way else to say it. When has he ever made money in the business? When has he ever made money for New Japan Pro Wrestling?
But you could see where maybe 10 years ago you were in that spot ahead of, and you made an impact by earning your way there. And I remember when you dropped AJ Styles on his head, I was watching that and I said, that's the guy right there. Gabe just probably went about it in a different way.
That is one way to put it. That is one way to put it. And you know what? Yeah, that is one way to put it. I did act on my own in that moment when I dropped AJ. Not even I knew until it happened that was going to be how it was going to go down. And I can't ever discourage people from wanting to do something different to get your name out there. And I do know that the situation with New Japan and Gabe, it needs to be worked out. And there is already going to be, there's going to be a number of meetings. And luckily, there's the relationship between myself and Tanahashi. We'll be able to figure out a way to fix this. I'm not worried about it. And hopefully within the next little bit, we'll be able to figure out what a more realistic approach to finding an opponent could be.
Before we go, let's end on maybe a couple lighter notes or maybe not, depending on how you view them. I mean, obviously, the last time we saw you on screen with the Young Bucks, things weren't wonderful, but a lot of those wonderful moments did happen on Being the Elite, and recently they had on their Twitter never bringing back BTE. I don't know if that even hits your radar, but I mean, that holds a very sentimental place in the hearts of many wrestling fans. I don't even know how to frame a question here. It's just maybe your thoughts on the possibility of something like BTE, which has obviously changed in format over the years, possibly being gone, because it was an important part of so many careers.
No, it really was. It allowed for wrestlers to have a creative outlet that they may not have had on their show of choice. Because, I mean, we used so many wrestlers from so many promotions. So it wasn't just a matter of, hey, we're doing this while we're in New Japan. No, I mean, we had New Japan Pro Wrestling featured ROH, PWG, promotions from the UK. We went to New Zealand, Australia, I think there was Germany. We were all over the world at that show, and we try to feature wrestlers from everywhere. And I do feel that a lot of wrestlers who maybe never had a voice before were able to find one in BTE. And I think for those people who've maybe had a career resurgence or were able to make something of a career that never existed up until that point, I'm very thankful for that. And I'm thankful for BTE being around for when I really wanted to have a creative outlet. Some of my favorite things, I guess, loosely involving wrestling were, the Halloween episode. There were opportunities for me to do some of the stuff that I wish I could do on a wrestling show, but you know, maybe a little too kooky and zany. But for BTE, it was a gigantic commitment for everyone involved. And I really do think that as BTE grew and grew, and our cast grew, and the quality of the episodes grew as well, it became too much work to shoulder for just one person. I sort of feel like if it were to ever come back, it would probably need an actual crew. Like, we would need our own cameraman. We would need people to edit the footage. We might even need, at this point, because things evolve, they change. Might need, someone to add like post-production effects and things like that. It's just, I think the time demand and the quality demand didn't match the time that we had to give to the series anymore. And I think that, BTE kind of became, near the end anyway, it kind of became its own thing. It kind of became like, there's moments when it was more of a Dark Order thing.
Yes.
And there were moments when, it would feature, wrestlers that maybe didn't have spots on TV so that they could do something for the week. And I was more than thrilled to have that as a thing as a platform for those individuals. But yeah, I totally respect the reason why it had to go away. I don't know if maybe one day.
Maybe one day. And last one, the AEW landscape has changed significantly since we last seen you. Specifically, a guy like Swerve has emerged and become world champion and is like such a featured name there. And I know you were in the ring with him once years ago. I remember the match, actually. It was the Elite versus Swerve, Leo Rush, who he faced this week, and the late Ryan Smile. Mm-hmm. But we've not really seen a lot of interaction there. When you see a guy like Swerve emerging, is that any motivating factor? Like, well, that's a guy I got to do something with. He's burning down houses, or he's getting his house burned down out here. He's breaking into homes. He's having classic matches with guys you have also had classic matches with. Like, is that a point of motivation to return? Maybe even not him specifically, but these emerging names that we see.
I feel like it's moments like that where I can really sit back and smile. Not all the time when the good guys win, when the good guys can get ahead in life. And especially for me, there are people that I've rooted for in the past that just maybe weren't able to ever get their fair shake, or they weren't able to find that break. And I remember he may not even remember, but I remember that in moments when Swerve would be involved in something that maybe something that placed him in more of an enhancement role,
mm-hmm.
he would do such an incredible job with it to not only elevate his opponent, but, you know, the quality of the match and himself in the process, that, you know, I would always feel like not that it was my job. I just felt like as a wrestler, as someone who still enjoys watching good wrestling or wrestling that entertains me, I felt like I got to reach out to this guy. I have to let him know that he's doing an incredible job. I just hope he doesn't get discouraged, because eventually someone's going to see how good and how giving and how cognizant he is of everything around him as regards to current day wrestling. And lo and behold, you know, months and months and months and months and months and months later, whatever it was, he found the secret. And he just used that as a springboard to launch himself into the stratosphere. And he went from wherever he was at to now being undeniably one of our greatest performers in AEW.
He's phenomenal. It's incredible to watch him. And I'm excited to hopefully see you back in the ring soon, hoping that January 5th target date hits. And as always, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time. I think it's our third or fourth interview, but my gosh, man, it's wonderful to see you. You're a welcome face back on the screens, whether it be New Japan, AEW, or hopefully both. But
oh, yeah, no, I mean, I hope so too. It's a shame that the return couldn't coincide with another show that close together. You know, like I said, it's just, we have so much talent in AEW that I will wait. And when there's an opportunity, I'll look to the boss and say, put me in, coach. And hopefully I can do a decent enough job to deserve that spot.
Kenny Omega, thank you so much. As always, I appreciate you guys. Until next time, we're out. Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc. And you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.